Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Hard times
like that. Hello, welcome to the Arash Markazi Show presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California. 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network. 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. A lot to get into here on a Wednesday. Let's not waste any time. Let's bring in from the Sporting Tribune for the third straight day, my man, Willie Ramirez. Willie, how are you?
A lot of things going on, huh?
So much going on. And by the way, not a day goes by where you don't have something viral going on, whether it's a viral story, a viral tweet.
As long as I don't have a viral infection, we're good.
That's exactly. As long as that's not happening, we're happy. Okay, so the big thing that happened yesterday was that Spalding, I believe. Is it Spalding or
Wilson?
Wilson Basketballs did, they are going to do a sponsorship deal with Caitlin Clark. Again, not surprising when you look at the fame and the popularity of Caitlin Clark. And you had a tweet. And I'll let you take it from here because it was a funny tweet. I liked it because, again, playing off of what's happening in Las Vegas. But set the scene. What happened yesterday, Willie?
So I go on social media and I saw that Front Office Sports tweeted out that Wilson reportedly signed a deal with Caitlin Clark. They will be making signature basketballs in her name. So I just was being funny and I quote tweeted it and said, is the WNBA going to open up an investigation to this? Now, I didn't think anyone was going to take it serious. I figured they would read into it. I mean, obviously, I'm not. I think I've been around the block long enough where I pretty much know that that's not the case. It's not going to happen. There's no reason to. She's squeaky clean. She's 5 days into, or excuse me, 10 days into her career, whatever it is at this point. But people lost it. They love Caitlin Clark. They love the WNBA. They love to race bait. You name it. It was something that went absolutely crazy. And as we're sitting here talking, I'm scrolling to look. It's gotten 712,000 views, 450 reposts, 2,800 likes. So I responded to it eventually and put, I seriously cannot wait to write a column for the Sporting Tribune on this for all those lost souls who missed my point. I may miss a lot of tonight's Aces Mercury game sitting courtside, calling out some of the replies, but it'll be worth it in the end. Caitlin Clark deserves every dollar that she can make, as does everybody else. I could not believe how people mistook what I was trying to do, what I was trying to say. But it really all stemmed from the deal with the Aces players, not the Aces organization, and the Las Vegas Convention Visitors Authority, and the deal that was struck with their agents, where each player will get $100,000 to represent and promote the city in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, and it totally makes sense. And again, so you wrote this column. It's a fantastic column. It is the lead story, once again, at the Sporting Tribune. And you decided to focus on one player in particular. And I love this because this player this season will be vastly underpaid, and it will be a bargain, an absolute bargain. We've seen the traffic numbers that Kate Martin has done and will continue to do. Touch on that again. You know, first of all, you're talking about back-to-back champions who will go out into the city, into the community, and on social. But Kay Martin in particular, when you look at what she's making salary-wise to how she moves the needle, and again, I'm just going off of the coverage that we've provided and that you've provided in terms of the traffic numbers, in terms of the engagement. You know, if they have Kate Martin doing something, she will be as influential as, again, and you touched on it, so I'll let you chime in.
Yeah,
they pay 100 like influencers. Kate Martin at this point is right there with them.
Any professional athlete, I think, that from this town at this point, even if it's a Raider, a Golden Knight, but the Las Vegas Aces are in season. Mm-hmm. Women's basketball, as we've seen, is at such a high. And someone like Kate Martin, what I learned just by writing my story for my personal website this past week, right? Just getting things going with my site. We're still waiting on a redesign. Got someone working on that, but I wasn't getting a lot of clicks or us just to get this going. I was getting content up until the redesign hits. You know, I'd be lucky to get 100 clicks on a story based off of who's finding it on social media or Googling those names. Kate Martin, I do a story, and over the course of the publication of publishing the article, it's been over, it's close to 5,000 clicks.
Amazing.
Coming to the site. This is the 18th overall pick in the WNBA draft from the second round, but she comes from Iowa, and it's not because of Caitlin Clark. She has her own fan base. She has her own people who have fan Twitter account. People love Iowa. I talked to Kate yesterday before their game against the Mercury. She's like, Iowa fans are deep, and they are. So this is someone who on SpotTrack is set to make $67,249 gross. Okay. Now I'm going to do the math while we're sitting here on the show. You subtract 30%, because that's the garden variety number, right? For taxes and all the other things that you delete. $47,000 is about what she should clear this year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is somebody who last night when she checked in the game, thanks to her debut on Saturday against the Sparks, the Michelob Ultra Arena went absolutely nuts, lost it. So she's immediately become a hit. Now, I did hear some idiot say, which will remain nameless, but say, you know, try to make comparisons, you know, and try to read into what the LVCVA has planned. Now, it's one thing to be a sports writer, journalist, a radio host, whatever it is that you're doing, but to try to figure out how the LVCVA, who has brilliantly marketed this town for decades, try to insinuate what they're going to use each player for, just shut up. Okay. They said, you know, well, Sydney Colson's not going to draw people into Las Vegas just because she says to come here. Well, maybe that's not how they're going to use her. All 12 players will not be used to market and influence people just to come to Las Vegas. They'll be used in different manners. Some of them will be used to market to locals. Why not, you know, an event that the LVCVA has something go? Remember, the LVCVA, Arash, has funneled millions of dollars into F1, bringing the Super Bowl here, bringing your all-time favorite that I keep begging you to take that picture down every year that WrestleMania comes up, right?
WrestleMania coming back to Vegas.
WrestleMania coming to Vegas. So LVCVA could turn around and use Sydney Colson just to get the Aces and Las Vegas together. They're part of the brand. They're part of the sponsorship in all these events. That means that they can tie those things together to promote and help promote. We don't know what they're going to use the 12 faces for. We don't know. How do we not know how Kirsten Bell might be able to be used where, you know, with her tattoos? We don't know. That's for the minds of the LVCVA to decide, and that's why they did what they did to take each personality. That's why they're dealing with them personally, not the team. This has nothing to do with the team. This has nothing to do. It has to do with the players promoting Las Vegas and what the LVCVA is trying to do on the overall spectrum of marketing this town. And all 12 players bring a unique perspective in which they can, you know, be utilized. So I use Kay Martin as an example in my column because $100,000, as Sid Colson pointed out, can be life-changing for a 22, 23, 24-year-old girl who, by the way, showed up to the draft just to support her teammate.
No, it's a great point. This is a league-defining season for the WNBA, and I say that just when you look at the TV numbers for the first weekend, where a lot of these games did over 1 million. Again, when you start to get into the million and millions, now you're talking about TV money, real TV money. Again, you're seeing the Caitlin Clark effect. Think what you want about it. Obviously, it's great for the league. She's going to be in Los Angeles on Friday. Willie, they are expecting that game to be, if not sold out, close to it, and a lower bowl ticket. You cannot find a lower bowl ticket for less than about $90. The significance there is if you were to go to a Clippers game, Clippers playoff game, that was not the case. You could get in for a lot cheaper. There were a lot of seats that did not go sold. I mean, what is happening right now? And again, you're clearly going to see it when she's there in Las Vegas with the Fever, T-Mobile. You may know if it's going to be sold out or close to it. But, you know, when you start getting 20,000 people showing up, buying tickets, when you start getting 2 million people tuning in, that's real money. That now you're talking about contracts have to be, like, relooked at again. TV deals have to be looked at again. So to your point, like $100,000, yeah, it's a big deal. Now, I think in the big scheme of things, we'll look back at this going, like, what a steal this was. Talk about though this weekend, this upcoming, you know, Friday.
Let me put it in perspective for you. Let me put better perspective for you. Okay. Michelob Ultra Arena holds roughly a little more than 10,000, right? Between 10 and 11,000 people. I don't know the exact number for sold out with standing room only and suites and whatnot, okay? I was walking back to my seat after halftime, and I hear my name called. I look over, and I see this young lady who I covered in high school. She's graduated college. She's moved on. She's you know, back home, and she was sitting in front row seats behind the Aces bench. A coach, a local high school coach, gave her her tickets. She knows. Okay. I asked her if she was going to be at Saturday's game. She said no. I said, oh, well, yeah, that makes sense. The coach is going to want to be here. She said, no. She sold them. $1,000 a piece.
No.
Now, $2,000, Arash.
Wow.
Is 2% of $100,000 that Kate Martin will make, or any of the other players will make to market Las Vegas. $2,000. Now, Are all the seats going to be 2,000? No, but let's just say the New York Liberty just set a WNBA record with a $2 million gate last week. Okay. If there's 10,500 seats, let's just say, at Michelob Ultra Arena, and let's just say at low end they sell for $250 a pop, that's $2.6 million on Saturday in Las Vegas to see Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever visit the Las Vegas Aces. Now, she's not going to be here for all 20 home games. I get that. But nevertheless, this is a team that has sold out 15 of its 20 games and will likely sell out the rest. You're right. They're moving on July 2nd to T-Mobile Arena. Caitlin Clark could by then draw that many people, depending on how well the Fever are doing. And I don't even think that that's going to matter at that point.
Yeah.
Now, if the Fever arrive and they haven't won a game and they're 0-1 whatever it is by the time that date rolls around, then, you know, maybe the allure would have worn off, but I just don't see it. I don't know why they didn't move this Saturday's game. I think the attraction, maybe it was because of dates, and maybe they didn't know at the time if the Golden Knights were still going to be in the playoffs, so they couldn't commit. Who knows? But the fact is, you know, all in all, with the attraction and what we're seeing for attendance league-wide, the Atlanta Dream just put a huge marketing email out this morning. Fever and Dream tickets available now. This is for months in advance. So on the whole, I think the WNBA is worried, Arash, with this deal. They're worried more than anything that other municipalities, I think we discussed this yesterday, that the rest of the cities, and I talked to Natasha Cloud last night about this, the rest of the cities are going to be concerned with, the WNBA is worried that the rest of the cities in the league, all 11, will eventually have backing from somebody, if not a government agency, their convention and visitors authority, whatever they're called in each city, or whatever, to sponsor 12 players. Does it circumvent the salary cap? I guess if that's the terminology you want to use, yes. But in Las Vegas, that's how backroom deals have always been made. You find the loophole, you do it by the books, and you cut the deal. That's on the league's fault for leaving things open like that. That's why we have legal departments with different, you know, entities to get things done. And that's what the LVCVA has done. That's what I wrote about. And that's why these women deserve to make that money.
There's no doubt about that. I mean, the big difference is 20 years ago, Steve Hill's conversation with the players would take place at Piero's and would not be recorded, but in the back room. So, but listen, I mean, this is a defining moment for the league, and this is just going to continue. And I want you to touch on this because, again, to the point of your tweet, it wasn't about Caitlin Clark. It was kind of like a joke about what the league is investigating right now. But again, here in Los Angeles, we're watching Cameron Brink. We're watching Rekia Jackson. This draft class in particular, it's not just Caitlin Clark. Yes, by the way, you have to give her flowers. I get it. She's selling out arenas. She's making the league a ton of money. But I think we're all finding out about, you know, Kate Martin and Danger Reese, and you go down the list. I mean, what an amazing draft class. Speak to this class in particular, really kind of, you know, changing the league. And then again, going into next year, Paige Buchers and then Juju Watkins. I mean, this is just going to continue, I think.
It is. And I mean, as the town, you know, we're seeing it. Stephanie White told me the other night that, you know, the fact of the matter is, you're getting more and more players who aren't shying away from big moments, right? That they're handling the pressure on and off the court. They're moving the needle in women's basketball. You could see it in their work ethic. You could see it in how they handle themselves with the media, how they can handle themselves, you know, in pressure point situations. This just happens to be an incredibly gifted class when you're talking about Angel Reese and Cam Brink and Leah Edwards and Camila Cardoso. And, you know, I mean, you could go, the names go on. Tonight, we're getting another debut because Nika Mule finally had her visa issue resolved. So who will she debut against? A rematch from the Final Four, Nika Mühl with Caitlin Clark. You know what I mean? Caitlin Clark's got some – this is what's kind of fun. She's got Nika Mühl tonight. She's got Cam Brink on Friday. She's got her former teammate, Kate Martin. Kate Martin talked to me yesterday before the game. I told her that I had Caitlin on a Zoom, and she gave her flowers, and she said that hopefully she'll guard her. She's going to get poke fun at her. And Kate said, yeah, she's been texting me, telling her, just let me get a shot off. And Kate said, no way. So I'm looking forward to that showdown. But – the rookie class is special. I wrote about it in my notebook. You were there last night, I believe. Did you go to the Sparks game?
No, I was watching from afar, but we had two of our guys there. We had Fredo Cervantes, Ray Moraldi were there courtside, so it was great. Yeah,
Cam Brink's first three games, she has 11 blocks for the Sparks. She's the fifth player in league history to have 11 or more in their first three WNBA games. So a lot of good things there. I loved the Sparks yesterday, by the way, all the way down to -1.5. My son texted me from the sports book and said, should I still do it? The lines move. I said, well, Jordan, if I loved it at 3.5, I love it at 1.5. Can you imagine the sharps on that game, Arash? They took +3.5 on the Mystics, and then they laid it back on the 1.5 because it closed at 2, and they win by 2. So the sharps know what they're doing even in the summer. But the Sparks, this was a big game that they needed, I think. It was perfect. I think the Fever, unfortunately, are going to run into problems. But I do think, I will say this, I think that they're going to pick up their first win tonight.
Okay.
I do think that they're going to win in Seattle. I think they're in a better position. Indiana opened the season with New York, Connecticut twice. So they played four games against the two best teams in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
Seattle opened up with Minnesota twice, a tough opponent. Then also played Washington. They played four games and New York. But traveling back to this side of the country, Indiana's been on that side, right? They didn't do a lot of traveling. It was just sort of all within their region. Seattle had to go all the way across the country with Minnesota, then D.C., New York. So now they're coming all the way back home. They could be missing NECA. So a lot of decisions for Noel to make. So look for the Fever to win tonight. Then they're going to have a tough chore back-to-back L.A. and Vegas, but it's going to be fun to watch.
It will be. And one player that we're going to have to touch on at some point, not just this season, but probably at some point next week when we have you back on, it could be a future Willie Ramirez feature. D'Erica Hamby, by the way, you told me before the year to look out for her, and she's done exactly what you've said. She is the reason that they're doing well.
Hey, real quick, don't forget the story that came up. Chelsea Gray.
Yes.
On the Sporting Tribune. And by the way, right now, it is ranked, I believe, 1, 2, 3, fourth all time. So it's worth the read. A lot of clicks.
You're the best, Willie. We'll have you back on next week. Let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we'll be joined by Grant Mota of the Sporting Tribune. When we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, the bet in Las Vegas and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Still clam with the underground
when we come around. Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment or want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline 310-400-0340. All right, let's bring in from the Sporting Tribune, Grant Mona. Grant, how are you?
Doing well, Arash. I know that Laker fans across the country or across the world are not doing well because of what the Celtics did last night.
But, I know.
Some great basketball, some great baseball, some good things happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great point, the number one thing that Laker fans are kind of rooting for is for the Celtics not to win. They don't want them to win title number 18. So we'll see how that turns out. But again, I mean, you know, I think this will be a fantastic series. I think you do as well. I mean, the fact that the line, and we talked about this on the show yesterday, was 10.5. The Pacers continuing not to get respect. I mean, they really should have won that game. Rick Carlisle even said post game, kind of like he blew it in terms of, you know, not calling the timeout and just, you know, listen, they were at the point in the game where if they just make their free throws, the game is done. But real quick, your thoughts on this series. Again, the Celtics come back to win game one in overtime. By the way, hilarious footage of Celtics fans that had left. Like, I still don't get that. Like, I don't know what a ticket cost to, like, the conference finals, but it can't be cheap. Like, what the heck are you doing leaving? What were your thoughts on the game? And do you think the Pacers still have a chance to win the series?
Oh, that was just such a dagger for Indiana. I mean, they had a chance there, like you mentioned, to win at the end. They had two turnovers in the last, I think, 45 seconds of the game, one by Tyrese Halliburton and then one off of the fingertips of Pascal Siakam. And all the Pacers really needed to do, Arash, at the end of that game in the fourth quarter was just inbound the ball. That's all they really needed to do. And that would have probably sealed the game because they're up by three with 10 seconds left. And you inbound the ball, get fouled, make even one free throw, and you're probably set. And they couldn't get the ball inbounded. I got to give a lot of credit to Boston. They really fought down the stretch. I mean, it looked like they were out of the game for about 45 seconds. And they just kept hitting big shot after big shot, getting stop after stop. Drew Holiday was excellent. That's why they got him. He got a stop on Tyrese Halliburton, first forced a turnover. And that's why you get a guy like Drew Holiday. At that moment, I was like, that is why you get him. And look, with Kristaps Porzingis out, it's still going to be an uphill battle. I know that the Celtics are overwhelming favorites in this series. And that shot that Jaylen Brown hit, I don't know why Pascal Siakam didn't at least put his hand up. I know that you're trying not to foul him, and a lot of guys do foul in that situation, like we saw with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in that OKC-Dallas series in the last game. But you got to at least contest, and Jaylen Brown hits that three to send it to overtime. And at that point, Arash, I was like, okay, Indiana's not winning this. They had their opportunities in the fourth. And that just shows the inexperience of a young team in this scenario for the first time. And it also shows that the Celtics, they can hunker down when they need it. I mean, Jason Tatum had 10 points in that overtime period. While he did not look as good as I thought that he should have in game one, in regulation, in overtime, he was great. And he hit a lot of big shots, and he got a lot of good stops. For Indiana, I mean, it's such a gut punch, right? Because you're right there. You're taking the number one team in the NBA to the brink in game one of the conference final. They played so, so tough. I mean, Pascal Siakam hit a bunch of shots down the stretch. Tyrese Halliburton was good in regulation. They had so many contributions from so many guys. And, you know, now it's like, if you're going to steal one, Arash, it would probably be this game one. Yeah. And when you don't steal game one, first of all, Boston's going to adjust. And then second of all, Indiana, I don't know if they can keep up that type of intensity that they showed in game one, especially after such a deflating loss. So while I do think that they have a better chance than a lot of people are giving them, I said this in yesterday's show, is that I still think the Celtics are going to win in six games, not four or five. I do think that this is a pretty big dagger to Indiana. But if you're looking at it from Indiana's perspective, you just played one of your best games and almost beat the number one team in the NBA in game one. So you can take that confidence if they really do use it and play well in game two. And then at home, they're always good. So I feel like Indiana's going to take a few games here. If they would have won game one, Arash, I mean, I might have agreed with our good friend Brandon in saying that the Celtics would win in seven and not six. But yeah, gut punch for Indiana, but a gritty win for Boston. Maybe that'll like kick them into gear a little bit because they've had signs of just being lackluster.
Yeah, no doubt about that. We had a little bit of Clippers news yesterday, and you're very familiar with the source. The Scriptwriters had a viral tweet. It's at about 165,000 views right now. We got to look at the Clippers court with the new logo. Also, the scoreboard, very reminiscent of SoFi Stadium in there. It looks fantastic. Again, the pictures that we've seen during the course of construction and even the pictures of what it could be. I mean, it is really shaping up to be the finest arena in the league. Again, for $2 billion, it should be and it will be. What was sort of the biggest thing takeaway? Again, beautiful court. Look, and it's way ahead of schedule. I mean, you know, here we are in May and this thing looks like it, you know, again, the first concert I believe will be in August, if that's right. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's good to go. What did you like about it?
Yeah, listen, when I received this video, I thought it was from a video game. I thought I was like, am I looking at NBA 2K? Like, what is that, the court, the actual court? And I had to green light a few things before it went out. But that court, that's the first time we've seen the Clippers' new logos and their new redesign on the court in the Intuit Dome. Now, I'm kind of questioning why they're putting it in there 5 months in advance. I'm assuming they're going to do like maybe a promo or something, or maybe PR for it, which is probably why it's there. But I don't know why they do that now. So I was kind of surprised. That's why I was like, I don't know why this is happening now. But what I didn't, so there have been videos of inside the Intuit Dome. I mean, if you go on YouTube and just look it up, there's plenty of videos of, you know, the concourse and inside the dome. But this is the first time we've seen the new colors, the new redesign and the logos and the new court design. Obviously, it was revealed months ago, but this is the first time we've seen it at the Intuit Dome with the hoops on there. So it was very shocking to me. I mean, I was so excited to see it because I am a huge fan of the redesign. I am a huge fan of the logos. I'm so glad they did that going into the new arena. And also, Arash, you mentioned the video board. I mean, it looks like larger than life in that. Mm-hmm. I mean, at SoFi, yes, it does look big, but that's a bigger arena, a bigger stadium. So it doesn't look as monumental. At the Intuit Dome, it looks like humongous compared to the size of that arena. If we remember, this arena is not going to be that big. It's going to seat about 18,500 fans. So this is not going to be one of the bigger arenas in the NBA. And the biggest thing that I took away from this, Arash, is around the third deck, I don't know if there's three decks or two, I can't remember, but around the top bowl, there are lights at every single seat. So there are dynamic LEDs at every single seat that I'm assuming are going to change colors. They are going to have patterns. And I don't know, because I don't think they've installed all of the seats yet. I don't know if this will be the same thing for the lower bowl, but in the entirety of the top bowl of the Intuit Dome, we are going to have dynamic LEDs that change colors. And I can see so much potential for that. I mean, you can have a wave of colors. You can have red, white, and blue. You can have flashing. You can have all that stuff. That is something that no other arena has right now. I know that some arenas have it on the steps as you're going to your seat, but none of them have it at every single seat. So that was what kind of took me by surprise. That looked awesome. That looked really cool. That's what you see at some college venues. So it's shaping up to be probably one of the better arenas in the NBA. I'm so excited for it. And to finally see the colors in the court, like this is the first time I've seen any Clipper colors inside the Intuit Dome. All it's been is construction and wood and metal and all that stuff. So to see the new colors and the new court, it just reminds me like we're so close to getting that opening night and to getting Clippers players on the court.
Man, are you looking forward to this upcoming Hulu show Clipped? Again, you're very familiar. I mean, listen, I was covering the team during that time. I mean, it was my life for a month. Again, people kind of forget how quickly this all came to be in terms of first round of the playoffs. I think it was before game three in San Francisco where the tapes leaked about the TMZ. You know, and then they beat the Warriors, go on to play the Thunder. And really, I mean, it all kind of came to a head very quickly in terms of Donald Sterling, former the owner of the Clippers, was banned for life and the team was sold. And so having lived it, again, I think people that are not familiar are going to be watching. But I think if you are a fan of the Clippers, or if you covered the team, it's like it's going to be weird watching like Lawrence Fishburne as Doc Rivers and Paul and like Dickhead O'Neill playing Donald. So it's just, so of course I'm going to watch this because I want to see how it will turn out. But are you intrigued by it, and will you be watching it?
I don't know about the casting part of it. I just don't think that the casting was A1. I think you could have done a little, I mean, just by what some of the shots that I've seen of the show, they have just, you know, some people playing Chris Paul and Blake Griffin and JJ Redick that just really don't look like the guys. I mean, look, JJ Redick's retired. Why not just get him to play his own role? I mean, you can do that. Blake Griffin's retired. Get him. He's a good actor. He loves acting. Just get him to play his own role. I know that's probably not going to happen, but the casting is a little bit off. Although I will be watching. It doesn't look like one of the better shows on TV. It doesn't look like it's going to be an Emmy Award winner, but I do think that I will be watching all of it, just because I was so invested in the team at the time too. Obviously not as invested as I am now, but at the time I was so into the Clippers. That's like the peak of my fandom with the Clippers. That's when I started to really get into them. And, you know, when that whole situation happened, obviously I was much younger, so I didn't really understand it fully that I understand it now. So I'm probably going to be looking at more of the intricacies of what they did, a lot of the behind the scenes things that happen. For Clipper fans, they're excited too. I know that, you know, we like to harp on the Lob City days and how fun it was. So just to get anything in that capacity, especially with great talented actors, like you mentioned, that's going to be fun. And look, it's probably not going to do numbers like I mentioned, but for Clipper fans, and I think just for basketball fans too, like basketball fans understand what happened around that time as well. So it's not just going to be a Clipper fan base watching this. You're going to get basketball fans from around the world watching this too. Anytime there's a sports show, I mean, look what we saw, what happened with Winning Time. Look at what we saw that happened with many of these shows and documentaries that came out. Basketball fans flock to those. And I think that the fact that it's coming in the summer, like there's going to be really not much going on in the basketball world. So a lot of people will be tuning in. So I'm excited. I obviously it was a dark era, right? It's not what you want to see coming from the organization. You want more of a positive light, but I will still be watching because I was so invested in the team at that time.
Yeah. And what I love about the Clippers moving into their own home, and again, it'll be their first home that's just theirs, I think, in franchise history. You know, maybe in San Diego, it was their own home. But again, you know, when they moved to Los Angeles and played at the Sports Arena, they shared it with USC. And obviously at Staples and Crypto, they've shared it with the Lakers and the Kings. So having their own home will be fantastic in terms of retiring the jerseys, putting up banners, again, division banners for now, but, you know, hopefully for the fan base, championship banners in the future. Wanted to get your thoughts on the Rams OTAs beginning this week around the NFL. Matthew Stafford, by the way, being out there, it is voluntary. Not a lot of like vets are there, but Matthew Stafford is there. I kind of like that, right? Right, Grant, in terms of he wants to work with these guys. These guys are excited. Following the 10-win season a year ago that surprised a lot of people, I think people believe that they will build on that this season. Your thoughts as we begin OTAs this week?
Yeah, it's great to see Stafford out there, especially with a lot of reports coming out that he wants a new contract or he wants a contract restructure. There were questions that he would even be out there for OTAs, that he would even participate in many of the off-season workouts. So what this tells me is that he's fine with his contract. He's fine with his standing on the team, and he really wants to win again. I mean, like I mentioned before, in that documentary the Rams made about Matthew Stafford and kind of that whole season, it hurt him to lose to Detroit. It really did. And he wanted to win another Super Bowl. He still does. I mean, him and his wife agreed that they want to win another one. And I think that that's going to motivate him. Honestly, I know it's not great to lose in the playoffs, especially to Detroit, but I think it's a good thing because it lights a fire under him. It lights a fire under a lot of the veterans, a lot of the players on this team. And I think they're going to be really motivated. Now, look, I think that the Rams will give him a little bit of a new contract, if not a maybe a 2-year extension, maybe a contract restructure. I think they should, just because he's that good. I mean, there are some points in the season in the second half where people were putting Matthew Stafford in the MVP conversation. So he has the ability to be a top five quarterback still. In my opinion, I think he is a top 5 to 7 quarterback in the NFL still. So for this Rams team, the OTAs, I think, are really important for the young guys. The Rams have always done a good job of kind of incorporating the young guys into what they do with the veterans. Another big story coming out of the OTAs is Kyren Williams, who has a foot issue. And regularly you'd say, okay, well, we're months away from the season, so it really doesn't matter. But for Kyren Williams, he's already had a fractured foot in that same foot. And I'm a little bit concerned in that aspect, because I remember years back when Sean McVay was talking about Todd Gurley's knees.
Yeah.
And he was saying, like, oh, you know, it's just a minor issue and, you know, we'll get back to it. And Todd Gurley's knees never held up after that. And he said everything would be fine. I'm not going to say that it's the same thing, but whenever you have a foot issue with a young running back, especially a guy that had a huge workload in 2023, I mean, he's one of the best running backs in the NFL. It's a little bit concerning. This could be the reason why they got Blake Corum, Arash, why they drafted him, because Blake Corum is basically just like Kyren Williams in terms of his build, in terms of his play style. So I'm not worried in that aspect, because I know that you have Blake Corum there, and I'm so excited about that duo that they have now, that even if Kyren Williams has to miss some time to begin the season or to begin the preseason or training camp, I am very confident in Blake Corum and what he can bring to the Rams. So just a little bit of a concern there, but I'm so excited because we're about 3 months away from actually getting actual football played at SoFi Stadium.
Yeah, no, it's going to be fun. By the way, that Todd Gurley contract, and I feel so bad for Todd, because, you know, he got the contract he did because he was such a fantastic player. And at that time, probably the best tailback in the league. What happened to him and his knee and not being himself again, that was the last big guaranteed contract. And then since then, it's been really kind of sad what they've done with the tailback position in terms of really not paying these guys, non-guaranteed contracts year to year. It's really unfortunate. Let's close out with the Dodgers. Old friend Jock Peterson comes back and it's a 3-run homer. No Panda Express for everyone today, unfortunately, because the Dodgers lost yesterday. But your thoughts on their homestand? Again, they play tonight before they get a well-needed day off on Thursday.
Yeah, it was a tough one to lose. The Dodgers offense just could never really get anything going. They were 2-for-10 with runners in scoring position. Gavin Stone, he was on a hot streak coming in, but he had a little bit of a rough outing. He gave up 3 earned runs. Like you mentioned, Jock Peterson hit that 3-run homer in the 7th. That kind of put the game away. But the Dodgers, besides this game, have been playing great baseball. And it was the process that I'm just really excited about. And I got to mention Shohei Ohtani. I mean, I know we talk about him a lot, Arash, but this guy, I mean, even when the team is really not going along as good as we think they can be, is when the offense is kind of stagnant and when the pitching isn't doing well. I mean, this guy went 2-for-4 again. And in the 4th inning, he got a double to lead off the inning. He then he got a double, stole third, and on that stolen base, the catcher threw the ball into left field and he came in on that same play. So he manufactured his own run by himself. He said, I don't need anybody to hit me in. I don't need anybody to hit a sac fly to get me in. I'll do it myself. What he's been doing, he had a bunt single earlier in the week, like a superstar like that, getting a bunt single. That just tells me, like, I don't see any other prime superstars that are fully healthy doing the things that he is to just try to will the team to win games. And I think that's the biggest thing that separates him from a lot of the better players in the game. He bunts, he steals, he sprays the ball around the field. He doesn't try to hit a home run all the time. And he's so gracious off the field. Now that I get to see it every single day on my favorite team and the team that I cover, I mean, it is just such a wonder to watch. So I think he's firmly in the number one spot for MVP.
Yeah.
And Arash, like I've mentioned, they have a lot of guys coming back soon. So this Dodgers team, they're a well-oiled machine, but it's the process for me.
Yeah, listen, I mean, it was great to see that clip of Clayton Kershaw, like, on the mound. It was obviously great to see Walker Buehler look like himself on the mound. So like you said, and then again, when you give this big contract to Shohei, you're wondering how it's going to turn out. It has exceeded expectations in year one so far. Grant, you're the best. We'll have you back on tomorrow. That's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe, stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit, credit to the people.
Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.
While no one knows what tomorrow may bring, Bridgestone is working toward a more positive outlook. With innovations like developing a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials. It's just one of the many ways Bridgestone is making a difference today for generations to come. Because that's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off Super Paint products and Super Deck stains from June 14th through the 24th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's John Littlefoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.